As we're in the middle of the series, I believe it's a prophetic series. Thank you, Ethan. It's a prophetic series, and God is really doing some things in our church on a deeper level. If you're not here on Wednesday nights, we're in part of a series called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. It's a large community group that we do, and we're just helping people uncover some of the deep, dark secrets that they have lingering inside. And it's fun. It's fun. Because whether you want to realize it or not, there are things inside of you that you're not aware of. And sometimes they remain dormant until something triggers it. And all of a sudden you ask yourself, where did that come from? And you look back and realize that your mom had it. Your dad had it. And if you're not careful, you can allow that thing that is generationally now in your line to affect you the rest of your life. But in Jesus' saying, that's going to be broken. Because you're called to walk in a new way of life. And so I want to encourage you to lean into that. We're definitely in, like I said, a new season, and God is bringing us in some new places spiritually, physically, emotionally. And so why is that important? Because it doesn't matter how good you preach. It doesn't matter what you say. It matters what's happening on the inside, and do you have the depth of character to hold what life's going to throw at you? I don't care how bad you want to speak in tongues, and I don't care how good you think you speak in tongues, but if there is no fruit, it doesn't matter. And so we're looking for people, and God's looking for people who are going to stand in the midst of turmoil, and are going to be able to stand in the midst of the cutting and really know what a real walk of discipleship looks like, so that in the end, you make it. You make it. Because there will be people who have started off in this walk who don't. Don't let that be you. Be the person who says, I'm going the distance, Lord. Hell or high water, I'm coming. I'm going to do it. And right off the bat, Lord, I know it's going to be difficult. I know it's going to be hard, but I know that your grace is sufficient and you're going to carry me through it. Because you can look at stories and examples of people in the Bible who started off well, who did not finish well. And King Saul was one of them. I'm going to pick it up. In 1 Samuel, go ahead, Alan, put it up there for me. Chapter 13, Saul was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned for how many years? 42. Let's stop right there. He wasn't a kid. He reigned 42 years. That's a nice reign. Okay. Verse 2, Saul selected 3,000 special troops from the army of Israel and sent the rest of the men home. He took 2,000 of the chosen men with him to Michmash in the hill country of Bethel. The other 1,000 went with Saul's son Jonathan to Gibeah in the land of Benjamin. Soon after this, Jonathan attacked and defeated the garrison of the Philistines at Geba. The news spread quickly among the Philistines. There was an ongoing rivalry between the Philistines and the Israelites. So Saul blew the ram's horn throughout the land, saying, Hebrews, hear this, rise up in revolt. All Israel heard the news that Saul had destroyed the Philistine garrison at Geba and that the Philistines now hated the Israelites more than ever. So the entire Israelite army was summoned to join Saul at Gilgal. The Philistines mustered a mighty army of 3,000 chariots, 6,000 charioteers, and as many warriors as the grains of the sand on the seashore. They camped at Michmash, east of Beth Aven. Verse 6. The men of Israel saw what a tight spot they were in, and because they were hard pressed by the enemy, here we go, they tried to hide in caves, thickets, rocks, holes, and cisterns. Some of them crossed the Jordan River and escaped into the land of Gad and Gilead. They ran. And meanwhile, Saul stayed at Gilgal, and his men were trembling with fear. Saul waited there 7 days for Samuel, as Samuel had instructed him to do earlier. Read 1 Samuel chapter 10, you'll see it there. But Samuel didn't come, and Saul realized that his troops were rapidly slipping away, so he decides to do something about it. So he demanded, bring me the burnt offering and the peace offerings, and Saul sacrificed the burnt offering himself. Just as Saul was finishing, and this is how God works, with the burnt offering, Samuel arrived, and Saul went out to meet and welcome him. But Samuel said, what is this you have done? So I said, the Philistines are ready to march against us at Gilgal, and I haven't even asked for the Lord's help. How foolish, Samuel exclaimed. You have not kept the command the Lord God gave you. Had you kept it, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. Verse 14, but now your kingdom must end, for the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. The Lord has already appointed him to be the leader of his people, because you have not kept the Lord's command. We're not talking about a young kid who disobeyed. We're talking about a king who saw God's faithfulness for 42 years. And in the end, because the prophet did not come when he said he was going to come, he decided, I have to take matters in my own hand because this situation is too overwhelming for me. My troops are leaving, so I got to do something about it. Ever been there? So in his disobedience, the Lord said, your reign is over. I've got someone coming up the ranks who I've appointed to take your place. Because fear, if we're not careful, creates room for insecurities. You don't think so? Check the last time you walked in fear and what it opened you up to. The enemy is always waiting and crouching to get in. Always waiting. And the way he works and operates is to get you to doubt God and what God said that you can have, and to come against who you are in him. And if you doubt and you succumb to it, you open yourself up to identity issues. You open yourself up to the attacks of the enemy on different fronts. Because you know that you're in a war right now, and that war requires your full attention. And that the enemy is waiting just to see you fall. Saul had an opportunity, but what's key about this story is that Samuel told him in 1 Samuel 10, hey, wait 7 days, and when I come, I'll do the sacrifice, because it wasn't the king's job to sacrifice. Samuel's job was to sacrifice, and he was going to hear from the Lord what they were supposed to do. But because Saul gave into fear, all of a sudden insecurity arose because people were leaving. You want to know how strong you are, and you want to measure how strong you are? How are you when people start going? How are you when people, when they're with you, decide, I can't be with this anymore, it's too much, I got to go? How are you when the Lord decides to move people on and cut relationships away from your life that don't need to be there? Insecurities, I'm not good enough. Wait, you were with me this far, but now I'm not good enough. Because fear will do crazy things. It'll cause you to do crazy things. And as a Christian, it's the one thing you're going to have to fight against the rest of your life. Am I going to give in to fear, or am I going to believe God in faith? And when he asks me to do something, I'm going to do it. Saul wasn't a kid. I'll say it again. 42 years. What about you? God has placed you. He's called you. He has something for you to do. And some of you might be saying, I'm going to wait a long time. Well, the second thing is this: God's timing is not yours. It took Abraham 25 years to see his son. The Lord came and told him, you're going to have a boy, a kid, at your old age. And he laughed. 25 years later, he had one. And that boy, as he began to grow. Even God asked him, after a while, to sacrifice that boy. Do you remember the story? And scholars say that Isaac wasn't a wee lad. He was a little more mature. So imagine, here's the promise. I'm giving it to you. You've enjoyed it. And now God says, I want you to give it back to me. But because of his faith, he obeyed. And it's his obedience. That's why we're here today, you know. Singing songs like, Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm, left arm, right foot, left foot. We sing those songs because of his obedience, even though it was difficult and it was hard, but God asked for it back. You see, when God promotes you and God gives you something, it's not yours. In the end, it belongs to him. And we have to have that attitude and posture of surrender and say, Lord, I give it back to you because you're the one who gave it to me. God's timing is not our timing. And if he would have waited a little longer, and I know a lot of you are like, well, he should have just waited. What would you do? We get all swole about it. We're like, man, if you saw troops that you couldn't count, you saw chariots, you saw charioteers, and the prophet was supposed to be here to tell you what to do. And you're sitting there like, what am I supposed to do? I got men leaving. They don't want to be here. What are you going to do in the midst of it? Well, I'd praise the Lord. Uh-huh. What would you do in the middle of it? Cut them some slack. Because you know as well as I do, when you're being assaulted and that when all hell is coming against you, you don't think right, you don't think straight. Immediately you say, I've got to do something about this. I've got to figure out how to fix this problem. Instead of waiting on God, what we do is that we raise up the arm of the flesh and try to fix it. I got to fix it. I'm too afraid and it's not God. Well, it could be. God's trying to test you in the middle of it. What are you going to do? In the middle of it, are you going to trust that I'm going to come through for you, or are you going to bolt? What are you going to do? No, Abraham, listen, I can't have kids, but hey, my maidservant can. Why don't you and her hook up? Because obviously the kid's not coming through me. Okay. Things happen. All of a sudden, Ishmael is born. And from that time, if you read in the Bible, there was contempt between Abraham's wife and Hagar. Why? Because she tried to fix it. Because it wasn't coming in God's timing. Because she looked at her deficiency and said, well, it must be me. So if it's me, then I'll tell you what. Here's another option. And that wasn't the best option. It was just the most convenient. And that's the problem. Convenience never gets you anywhere. I want to be in a relationship with the Lord, but it's got to be convenient. You're in the wrong relationship. No. Get out of your country. Go to the land I'm going to tell you to go to. I'm not going to tell you where to go. When you get there, I'll show you. So he left. Thus started his journey as a father of our faith, but along the way had some issues that he had to deal with, because no one is exempt from issues and trials in this life. I don't care how good you think you are or how spiritual you think you are. No one is exempt. You will inevitably get hit with something. And that your faith will stand on trial, and you will have to believe God for what he said and make a decision whether or not I'm going to continue in this thing when it gets hard and when it gets difficult and when people are leaving. Will you continue in this thing? Or will you decide that it's not worth it? I had a good run. But I just can't go any further. And what a travesty it would be to see the faithfulness of God over your life and then decide, because in the end, it just got too hard. I just couldn't do it. It's supposed to be hard. If it was easy, everybody be jumping in. You're talking about eternal life here. You're not talking about temporary life. So he's doing something on an eternal level and narrows the way. Few people who find it. God's just not going to make it easy for you just to find it and get there. Well, I'll make it easy. It's not easy. You're going to have to walk with me through some times that are difficult. And trust me, when everybody else is going, will you do what I told you to do? And will you go where I told you to go? No matter what the cost is, am I worth it? Only you can answer it. Only you. Because you're the one who's standing before God one day and have to give an account. Or if you decide that it's not worth it, you may not be standing before him as much as you think you should be. And we bought into this lie that it somehow is supposed to be convenient. Somehow that it's supposed to be, it's very easy, and it's just very, it's me and the Lord just have this kind of free-flowing relationship. And it's really good. Like, he moves and I move, and we are such in step. And the last time I checked, I was moving toward the cross and having to crucify myself daily to follow him. And it wasn't a free-flowing motion. It was difficult. Because eternal life is the goal. It's the goal. That's the goal in the end. Not here. Eternal life. This is great, and I'm grateful for what God has done. But eternity is in my heart, and so I got to follow the one who can get me there. That's why you can't compare your walk with someone else's walk. There's no comparison. Because God is asking you to follow him. God is asking you to do something different. God is asking you to start something different. And why do we do emotional health and we preach emotional health? Because if we're not careful, we get stuck back in old. And God's trying to do something new. God's done with old. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. However, you still have to walk away from the old into the new. And so if God says we're not doing that anymore, we're not doing it anymore. This is what we're doing. It's not familiar to me, Lord, I know, but this is what we're doing. It doesn't make sense to me, Lord, I know, but this is what we're doing. It hurts, Lord, I know, but trust me, this is what we're doing. I don't like it, I get it, I know, but this is what we're doing. Trust me, when this is over, you're going to like the way you look. I guarantee it. But we're doing something, Lord. Me and you, I know we're doing something. I can feel it, but listen. Because the Lord guarantees his results. They're time tested. But you have to be willing to be proven. So what's on trial right now is not your body. It's not. What's on trial right now is really not your emotions. What's on trial right now is your faith. Can I believe God in the midst of emotional dysfunction that he's still good and that he's going to get to me where I need to get? Can I believe God in the midst of physical sickness that he's still good and that he's still going to get me where I need to get, and even if he doesn't heal me in the next year or 5 years, that he's still good because his grace is sufficient? Because my faith is the thing that God is trying to get at, not how I feel about it. Because next week, you'll feel great about your relationship with God, and then you'll come back in another week, and you're like, this thing is the hardest thing I've ever done. I hate it. Because your feelings come and go, but your faith has to stand. If it doesn't stand, you're going to sway. You're going to bend. It's a reason why some things are breaking right now in the lives of people. Their faith is not strong. There's not a real foundation. And they're breaking under pressure. They're breaking under persecution. They're breaking under confusion. They're just breaking under it because they don't have a solid foundation. And he said, I'm going deep. I'm building a foundation. So when the winds come, you can move, but you still stay. That's what I'm looking for. I don't need you to get it right all the time. I just need you step by step to allow me to perfect you. That's what I'm looking for. Just keep getting back up and doing it again. And the more you do it, the more solid you get. Solid. There are things now that when they come at me, why? Solid. Because even though it didn't feel good, took it. Solid. Even though the temptation, Maria, was to compromise, no. Firm foundation. Because God's timing is not your timing. And in the waiting, the foundation is being built. What are you going to do, Richie, when I don't come through on your timetable? I'm going to make a choice to continue to trust God to do what I know I'm called to do in this season. And God will work out the steps and all things will work together for my good because I'm called according to His purpose. It's going to work in time. And so you got to be okay with, man, He promised it to me. The prophet said it was coming, but I don't see it. So maybe I should just take it upon myself to make it happen. And you know how that's the temptation. I want you to just do a little comparison between you and the Lord right now. I want you to think of the times that you were in God's will and it was difficult, as opposed to you were outside of God's will because you thought it would be easy. And then make a comparison, and which one would you rather be in? I'd rather be in the one in His will but difficult than out of His will playing a game, because you never win that game. If you don't think so, just think about all the people you know who have been touched by things in the world that have kind of tickled their ears or preyed on their sensuality and where they're at around. That looked good. And because it looked good, it got them. I'm thinking of people in my head right now because they went through a hard season of their life that they decided that, you know what? I'm going to be free and I'm just going to live my way. And when you look at the comparison between their way and God's way, there's no comparison. Because you are not attractive that way. You want to play the game, I'm attractive. You're not attractive. Because your inside is showing. That's why you ought to be careful what you post on social media. Because I could care less about the way your hair looks and where your lips puff. But when I look at you, I know you ain't right. That picture does nothing for me because I'm seeing on the inside of you right now, you're not where you need to be. But when I look and see someone else, I'm like, man, that character is attractive though on that person because he's looking at depth. Where would you want to be? You're well past, most of you in here are well past, you've lived long enough in life to realize that you're looking for real, you're looking for genuine, and you're looking for stable, okay? So you're well past the dress. You're well past how they look. You're looking for something. What comes out of their mouth? Do you have the depth of character to hold on with me? Or are you going to just flip out because it gets too hard? Do you have enough inside of you? Has God built enough inside of you to say, you know what, even though it's hard, I don't make sense, but I'm still going to go. That's what I'm looking for. That's what happens. And she's out here right now, but makes me love that woman in that nursery for almost 20 years. Because she's grown up with me. Yeah, yes. That's what I'm looking for. She's grown up with me. All that stuff, I don't care about the outside stuff's great. God's given her, she's attractive, all that stuff. But really what's good is when I look inside and say, that's good. Because she can hold stuff now. That's what I'm looking for. So anytime the enemy tries to throw in, and he does, little temptations, it doesn't work. That doesn't work. That attraction to me is futile. Give me this one. And the world right now is biting and is just grasping at stuff. They see attraction. Let's call it gay and it's okay. Let's just call it gay. And everyone's in up in arms about it. It's like, it's okay to say gay. Let's make a sign about it because we want you to be heard. And everything's about it. It's okay to do it. It's attractive. Let's all come out and just say, and you know what? It's not funny. It's not. And so the world's biting at it because everyone, let's be inclusive. Let's have a great time together. Let's just all just live life the way we want to live. But you're lost and you're dying and you're going to hell. And I can see it. And you can see it. And you can't tell me that the way you're living your life, it's pleasing. Because you're confused. That is not very Christian-like. It's real. It's real. And if you don't step up and be Jesus, you're missing out on why you're here. Everyone's doing it. So what? You can't stand strong in the midst of that. We got issues. It's fun. Lord, help me. My memory, Jesus, thank you for it, but at the same time. The things that we make allowances for because we think it's cute. It's not cute. And the more you walk with the Lord, the more you sense how God feels. It has nothing to do with God not being a loving God. Nothing. It has everything to do with God being a God whose foundation is built upon righteousness and justice. That's what we're after. And the truth of God's word is the truth of God's word. It does not change. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. It doesn't matter how you spin it. It doesn't matter how you tippy-toe around it. The truth of God is the truth of God. It does not change. And it is not popular. It's just not. And so if you're being raised up in which you are, God has placed you now in this time to be able to affect generations, you're going to have to know you're going to come against some unpopular ideology and ways of thinking, and you got to be okay because your faith is strong enough to be able to come against that in Jesus' name and stand against it without succumbing to it. Without succumbing to it. Don't be sliding this way. Don't be he might be right. He might be right. He might be right. Really? I don't want that dysfunction. I don't want that. Alcoholism? I don't want that. He might be right. No. And you got to be careful in the way you operate and where you deal with people. You are not of this world. The Bible talks about it. You're not. You deal with it and come at it from a different perspective. And you have to be okay not being liked. Last night, for whatever reason, Mia had my phone and she's going through my phone. She's looking at my Instagram and I post like once a year. Maybe. Who knows? She's looking at my Instagram and looking at all these followers. Dad, who is this? I'm like, I have no idea. She's laughing as she's reading through all this stuff. I'm like, I don't know who they are. I'm like, delete them. Just keep that. That's fine. Because it doesn't matter. I don't care who Galactic Pizza is. I don't care. She's following me now. Cool. Good job. Okay. It doesn't matter to me. Okay. For me, eventually, there are certain people that I want on there because I respect. Cool. But just because I got 6,000 likes doesn't mean I'm liked. You don't know me. You know me from a screen. You wouldn't like me if you knew me. Well, that's another story for another day. Okay. But you got to watch yourself in the midst of it. You can't. There's not time. The window of time right now is closing. It's closing. And so it's like God is funneling people into that narrow road. He's funneling. And as he's funneling, he's trying trying to put people in as much as he can. And that's why he's got you where you're at. Hey, come on with me. I know you may not want to. Just come on with me. You know, you're going by this way. Hey, remember Jesus? Come on. Because it's moving. And the people who were on the narrow road bailed ship. So now they're on the broad road, not going the way you wanted to go. So you have a decision that you have to make. Either I'm going to wait on God and do it God's way, or I'm going to do it myself. And in the end, end up like Saul. And we're not there yet in the story, but most of y'all know that in the end, he committed suicide. An emotionally unhealthy journey. Unhealthy. 42 years. Remember in the beginning, Missy talked about this. He prophesied. He used to. He was doing God's thing. 42 years. And then we get to a battle. And this is another battle where he's terrified. Read 1 Samuel 17. Another battle. He's terrified. I don't know what to do. I don't know. Where's God, man? Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Going a little bit deeper in the story, he looks and he says, oh man, I was worried because I didn't ask God what to do. Well, it's a problem. You're going against a myriad, an army that's, you can't even count. Lord, what are we supposed to do? I told you to wait. I'll tell you what to do. I couldn't wait anymore. Are you there? I just can't. I'm not saying do nothing. I'm not saying pack up shop, become a hermit, pee in a bottle. Okay, I'm not talking about play video games until dawn. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is that are you, as you're waiting on God, moving in what you already know what to do? I'm not talking about doing nothing. It's dangerous. There's too much faith and too much of the Spirit of God inside each one of us that is constantly pushing us to move forward. I'm not talking about doing nothing, but having a hope to know, all right, in time, he'll open the door, he'll shut the door. I get all of that, but you got to be moving towards something. Get out of your house. Get out of it. Go to a restaurant. Try something. In your place of the business, how are you making it better? Okay, what level of excellence are you bringing it to? That's where you're called to. Bring up a level of excellence. Change the atmosphere. What are you doing? I hate my job. I want to get out. Well, maybe you'll get out when you start changing the atmosphere. And you actually start being the light. Why do you think God would give you something easy? Why? Because easy is a recipe and also at times causes us to lean on our own strength and not lean on him. So why do we do hard things? Because God said it causes you to lean on me. That's why I ask you to do things that you can't do on yourself so you can lean on me and not in your own understanding. I'm not in the business of asking you to do things that you can do yourself. I want to help you in the process. That's why many of you in here are not in easy right now. And anytime you try to get this little nudge and the temptation to say, maybe I just go work at Target for $10 an hour and deal with that. God said, you ain't going to Target. You're going to stay here. You're going to learn a lesson. You're going to learn to fight, stand in faith, and watch me bless you. Because I'm working something out in you that has eternal ramifications, and I'm not really concerned about your temporary discomfort. You can take it because I can take it. Ever had that conversation with God like that? No, I can't do it anymore. Yeah, you can. And when you get to the end of yourself, guess who comes through? Jesus. And all of a sudden, now you find yourself walking in strength. I think I can do this. Things are beginning to turn around. You're pulling down strongholds. All of a sudden, God's beginning to elevate you. You're starting to see change. And you're like, man, I like this. Why? Because God's grace is sufficient. You finally realize you can't do it yourself. And God begins to elevate you. Things begin to happen. And all of a sudden, you find promotion in him. And God begins to promote you. And all of a sudden, seasons begin to change. You're like, God's doing something great. Yeah, because you learn the secret. It's about me and where I want you. Third thing, Alan, go ahead and put it up for me. Who or what do I look to for answers? And I think that's part of the problem right now in the body. That's part of the problem. Who's got the solution? Who's got it? What you got? You doing mask or no mask? What you doing? Are you close? What are you guys doing? Are you doing live or not? Everyone's, what you doing? I don't care. Who or what do you look to for answers? What is Jesus telling you to do? Wait 7 days and I'll come and tell you. All right. Continue to do what I asked you to do. Work the job and I'm going to work it out. Continue to believe me, be faithful in giving, and I'm going to bless you. That's really not what I wanted to hear, Lord. I wanted a solution. And God said, I'm giving you the formula to be blessed. That's how God works. Yes, no, wait. All of those are relative when it comes to God. But most of the time is, I got you. In due time, I'll raise you up. As you humble yourself, I'll begin to raise you up. Because I'll raise you up and put you in places where I want you, not where you want to be. Because we get this messed up sometimes. Lord, I want to be here. And God says, I get it, but it's bigger than you. I want you in some other places. And so I need to do a work in you to get you ready for those other places. How long was David in the sheepfold? Long time. How long was David on the run from King Saul? A long time. How long did Abraham have to wait? A long time. And I realize that some of you are like, I don't have a long time. God knows where you're at. He knows the timing. His timing is not yours. Within seconds, things can change. I mean, seconds. You be in a service, all of a sudden, something just changed. You could be in your car. All of a sudden, God speaks to you. I got it. Things change. His timing, your timing, the way he looks at things, the way you look at things, he operates outside of time, but he can intervene in time. So God does it differently. So just be ready. Be on the ready. Just be on the ready, man. Just do what you're doing. Continue to fight. Continue to get up. God is building something new. Why? Because he's looking for the strength. I want warriors. I want people who can stand in the fight. I want people who can worship through tears. I want people who can praise me through frustration. I want people who, as I'm cutting, can take the cut because they know it's good for them. I want people who, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, say, no, God is good because what he did, he took me from there. He helped me with my abuse. He took me from darkness and brought me into light. I can testify because I know God saved me from this. I was ratchet. I was disgusting. I was so emotionally defunct of anything that was good. God took me, changed me, and I can't even tell you where he took me from. It's so deep. But this is where I am today, and God is good. And if he can do it for me, he can do it for you. God is looking for people who are real and who he actually can build a testimony in so that he can actually use you in a world who's looking for a solution. You have the solution, but the work has to be done in you. It's not just a snap. There are people who need a real Jesus, not a fake bronze, long-haired, flowing Jesus in a painting. They need a real Jesus. Man, come on up. Do you find yourself where Saul was? You're in a period of time where God has told you, this is what I want you to do. But you're starting to see things unravel. And your faith is being shaken. Do you find yourself there? The question is, most of us do. But now you have to ask yourself, what am I going to do until he comes through? Are you going to sacrifice something that you don't need to sacrifice because it's not your business? It's not your job. Are you going to go out and try to fill it with something that you don't need to fill it with because he's not coming through? Or are you going to trust God to know that he's sufficient and that in time, God will raise you up? How do you know that immediately, guys, he makes the sacrifice? Guess who comes in? Samuel's like, what's up? The Bible doesn't, it's not even a time frame. We don't get seconds and minutes in the Bible. We don't know how long it was, but we know it wasn't too far. All of a sudden, Sam was like, what up? And you know God was holding him off to see what Saul was going to do. At your darkest time, God's like, if you just hold on a little bit longer, guess what? I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming. Just hold on. I can't. Yeah, you can. I'm coming. Think about the times where you actually did hold on and you saw God come through and you're like, oh, thank you, Jesus, that I actually held on because I was about to have an affair. You don't want to talk real. That's fine. Hello, I was about to, Lord, just throw it all in and say it's not worth it anymore. But thank God that I held on by your grace and you came through and I saw that. Oh, man, he's real. Thank you, Lord, that you waited on purpose so that I could be strengthened. And now that I see that you are the one true God, thank you, Lord, but thank you, God. And every step you take and God comes through, guess what? The less likely you are to leave. Because you see, he's too good. He's too faithful. Why would I leave for another lover? Why would I leave for a counterfeit when I have the real thing? When I know it's hard, he said, I know it's difficult, but listen, anything worthwhile is. It is if you just stay in it. And the joy that you have because you stayed in it, aren't you proud of yourself? Y'all just have a little praise break when you get home. Aren't you just proud of yourself that you stayed in and you saw the blessing of staying in and what it built in you and how excited you got because you saw that God was good and how proud he was of you because you actually did it. You're like, yeah. Okay, I got it now. I got it. I'm getting it now. And anytime the enemy tries to come in and say that you can't do it, you look back and say, but I did do it. And all of a sudden, things begin to change and you learn how to overcome and it's not beating you anymore. And when it comes in, you know how to stop it. You know how to deal with the anxiety. You know how to do it hard. You know how to do it even when we don't feel like it. And all of a sudden, things begin to change because God's faithful. You know that he's not going to let you down. And he's just waiting to see, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I got you, but you're there for a reason. Come on, what you going to do? Lord, help me, man. I'm going to quit there because I'm going to get in trouble. So let's all stand to our feet. Be good. The enemy would like nothing more for you to try different ways. That's plural. Different ways. He gets you to try on different things. Because you feel like that's what it is, or you feel like this is who you might be, and you get just different ways. There's not one way to heaven, there's different ways. There's not one way to feel good about yourself, there's different ways. Just try it on. And we got people, that's all they are, they're trying different ways, different versions of life, different versions of what they think life's about, and they're in trouble. Saul was raised up to be king. God said, I got you one. It's Saul. 42 years you reigned. But we look back over his life and we look at it as failure. Failure. Why? He didn't finish well. Multiple times he's walking in fear. Multiple times he compromises. He's afraid because what everybody else is thinking, he's insecure. Where are you? I'm not asking you to divulge your answer. Everyone's got stuff, but is it beating you? Is it beating you? Are you giving in to it? If someone's threatening to leave, let them leave. What you gonna do about it? Let them leave? Thank you. matter that this relationship can go on any further because we just don't see eye to eye. Goodbye. I'm not talking about your marriage. I'm not talking about being in a covenant. I'm not talking about you having a rough spot. That's life. That's life. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about you're in some relationships right now with influence with people, and those people, they don't have the same values as you do, and they're threatening to walk out of the relationship. Let them go. See ya. If God's pulling people away, it's for your good. The more you rise, the more changes there will be in your circles of influence. Because people will not be able to go with you, and they will begin to question your motives and what you're about. See you. You don't have the time to make people try to understand you. You don't have the time to try to make people affirm you. You are being raised up in this time, in this world, and God is putting people in positions of influence to do what he's asked them to do. You don't have the time to walk with people who can't go where you're going. And if you feel the tension and God has cut away some stuff, let him cut the rope. The longer you hold on, the more difficult it's going to be for you. Because God wants you to be free. And you can't be free if you're holding on to something. Ever try to do that? I'm free! But no, you got the baggage. Here. Don't take that. Don't take my codependency. Don't take my abandonment. You take that, because I hold on to that. When I'm in need, I turn to that. Don't take it. And God's like, I need it. You're not free. How can I call you to something when you're holding on to this? Because once you get there, you're going to carry that on with you. And I can't work with you if you're still holding on to this. Let's get rid of it. I know, Lord, but that's what I've always done. I know. That's why we're trying to get rid of it. It hurts. I know. Because you've used it to fill. And only I can fill. So let me cut it. And God's cutting it. Let me cut it. Keep cutting it, Lord. Thank you for the freedom. Thank you, Lord. You'll feel a lot better. Pain is a prerequisite to promotion here in this life. It is. To the degree that you can handle pain will be to the degree that you are raised up in promotion. He is seated at the right hand of the Father right now. Why? He handled the pain. God wants to seat you in life. He wants to put you in positions of influence, but you have to be able to handle the pain, because stuff's going to be cut as you elevated him. That's just the way it goes. And you have to be okay with it if you're going to go up with him. Because when you go up with him, there's going to be new things you're going to have to encounter, and that you can't hold on to the past and what has held you if you're going to resist that thing. Because that thing will take out you and take out what happened in your past and take out things around you, because you're still tied. You're still tied. And so that's why we're doing what we're doing. It's not some happenstance. Well, let's just do emotionally healthy this summer. It'd be awesome, right? It's for a reason, so you get untied. Tied. Physically, emotionally, spiritually. All of a sudden, you start being loose. You start feeling free. Oh, now I feel like God could use me. Yeah, because you're not stuck and held. Ever feel like you're held and you can't move forward? You're trying to move forward, but something's pulling you back. God says, I'm trying to cut it. And attention is so much, because the enemy doesn't want to let you go. Because that's been your lifeline for most of your life. And God said, I'm trying to cut it so that I can become your lifeline, because on this side is where I want you to be. And there's freedom here. The fight is over your freedom. Because the enemy knows the power in being free. Because once you're free, guess what? There's no stopping you. There's nothing. There's no stopping you. And that's why the fight is strong. So the more free you get, the better you are. The more you begin to rise and say, oh, I like this. Freedom, guys, it's not free. But I'm telling you what, Jesus paid for it. And once you go through the process of being free, there's nothing like it. Nothing like it. You don't want to go back for anything else. Thank you, Jesus. There's no more condemnation. There's no more shame. There's no more guilt. I got strength. I got Jesus. I'm walking in fulfillment. I can see clearly now. Rain is gone. Lord, for every person in this room, under tension as you're pulling. And as they're fighting to let go of who they were and who they are, give them the strength to cut ties. Lord, only you can cut the tie. Lord, you start cutting. As you do it, give them the grace to say, yeah. Thank you, God. As they begin to see the freedom, they're going to want more of it. As they go deeper, Lord, you're dealing with childhood stuff. Deal with it. Thank you, God, for dealing, healing dad issues and mom issues, God. Raising people up, God, in high places. Thank you, God, for the treasure that they are. Bringing that treasure back to life. God, help them to see new areas of grace. Yes. Thank you, God, that who the Son sets free is free indeed. And God, that after this season, there will be a lot of free indeeds walking around. And that those free indeeds will in turn be the antidote to what's happening in this world. Because we know that free people, free people. And I pray, God, that there will be such an outpouring of your Spirit. There will be such an outpouring of the freedom that we have in you. That people would not be able to resist the freedom that is found in you. That Christianity would take on just a new position in this life. That all stereotypes will be broken. Everything that people have raised up as far as what you are, what you can do, will be broken. Because you're doing a new thing in these days. And that when people see who you really are, there's going to be no denying that you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. And that you've always been the way. You've always been the truth. You've always been the life. And that we can walk in the fullness and walk in the power that you've called us to walk in, because you are who you say you are. And I pray that that revelation will become real to your people, and that it will not be counterfeit. And there'll be such a genuine authority that they have, that people, God, would be set free, that demons would have to go, that sickness would have to go, that right minds would be restored, and that there will be such a free flowing of your Spirit, that there will be such an outpouring of souls in these last days, that people would come to know you in droves, because of who you are. Leave no doubt that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Leave no doubt that it was you who set us free. Leave no doubt that we do overcome. God, build in your people the ability to stand and the ability to say no and the ability to say yes to you. Thank you, God, for that ability to break chains off the lives of those who are bound. Thank you, God, for the Spirit of God who is moving in power, love, and self-discipline. Help your people not to be afraid of it, but to take up the mantle that you called them to take in these last days and go do what you called us to do in greater measure. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.